I love Friday. Dueling genre.
Hello, and welcome back to Rocky Minute, the daily podcast where we knew you'd come back one champagne celebration at a time.
Champagne!
I'm Doug.
And I'm Jason.
And Jeff is back with us all the way from Jay and Silent Bob Minute. Welcome, Jeff.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Hi-ho!
Yay!
It's a good one. Chris was not lying.
Well, he thinks every impression is good because he can't do anything.
He started to break into a Hulk Hogan one on his week. He's, you know, all he did was drop a brother because he wants a Thunder Lips minutes next season.
You got to get him like when I have him for three straight episodes or so. Mm-hmm. By the third episode, he's usually drunk. So then I can get him to like. Then he'll start going to some impressions. I'll start getting all the WWF roster from the '80s.
Oh yeah, nice, Well, today we're knocking out minute 85, which begins with Adrian waking up and ends with Rocky saying he hasn't even seen their baby yet.
Oh, God, how many days is this? Go see your fucking kid. Jesus Christ. The kid's like fucking laying in those clear things like, do I have parents? Does anybody care about me? Does anybody want to see me? Go see the goddamn kid. This is ridiculous now, man. Like, this is absolutely absurd. It's not even in this. Yeah. This is absurd that you haven't seen the kid yet.
So Jay's jumping right.
Like if Adrian dies, it's just the two of you forever. Yeah. It's like, go see the little motherfucker.
My question is, if Adrian stayed in the coma for 8 months, are you going to not see this kid for 8 months?
Right. The kid's going to be in high school. Adrian wakes up. No one's seen the kid. The kid, like, go see the goddamn kid. Like, that's a fucking ridiculous that he hasn't seen the kid.
And I have news for you. Like, I've had a kid. If you are at a hospital, they don't just keep the kid.
Right.
Like, they're not your kid just stays down here forever. They're like, no, we bring the kid to you. You need to start doing parent shit because this is you've got like a 1 to 2 day learning course here, and that's it. And then you're on your own.
So right. Amazing.
And they say that like when the baby's just born and they put it on the mother's skin, like that's the bonding moment. Or like, no one's bonded with this kid. He's been laying there for days. So,
I know. My kid was in my hand in 10 seconds.
Maybe that's why he grows up to hate his dad.
That's like in Rocky V when he's not paying attention to him and he's training Tommy Morrison and the kid's like trying to get his attention and Rocky's not paying him attention. The kid's like, man, this is just like my first couple days in the world. Yeah. You didn't give a shit about me. You didn't want to come see me. You didn't want to come talk to me. Nothing.
Yeah. Maybe if I was in a coma, you'd know I was alive, Dad.
when she starts rubbing his hand, he looks at her hand for a full like 10 seconds before he looks up at her face.
Well, this is movie coma, wake up. This is how you wake up from a coma in a movie.
This annoyed me.
Like you move the hand and you're looking like in disbelief for a couple seconds. Then you have the slow pan up to the eyes. And then the eyes are still closed. So we got to wait for them to open. Like this is a textbook waking up from a movie coma.
Like I'll give him the hand because I could see you're starting to move your hand first. It's the other half that I have a problem with where someone just opens their eyes and they're like, hello, I'm here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's how you wake up from a coma.
Right. There's no no disorientation.
Right. No, like, where have I been?
Yeah.
That's
what's going on? What happened to me?
You can wake up from sedation that way. Like if you've had like a surgery and maybe you weren't put under. I mean, you can come out. I've seen people come out of anesthesia like that. Some people come out of anesthesia and they're like, boom, and they're up.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's nothing. Other people get it all groggy and throw up.
I've woken up from a nap and not knowing where I was.
What's happening? I was in I guess I was probably 16 or 17. I woke up one time. I came home from school. I took a nap. I woke up, and it was probably like 6 o'clock in the evening, but it was winter, so it was dark out, and I started getting dressed for school. My sister came downstairs. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm getting dressed for school. She's like, it's 6 o'clock in the evening, you moron.
And that wasn't a week-long coma?
No, that was not a week-long coma. That was an hour-long nap.
But I would think this only happens in movies because if somebody I knew was in a coma and I was sitting there with them and they started moving their hand a little bit, like I would look up to their face immediately. Like I'd be like, oh, my God, are you awake? Like you move your hand. Like what's going on? Like you something. Like this is just a movie coma wake-up.
And there's also no like, go get the doctor.
Well, I mean, we've also mentioned earlier, too, about how You know, there's no machines hooked up. She's not hooked up to a ventilator, oxygen mask, a
heart monitor, cannula.
There's no way she doesn't have at least the oxygen that goes under your nose because that's just giving you the pure oxygen. I could see a ventilator is only if she can't breathe on her own. So she probably doesn't need a ventilator. But
if you were in a if you're in a coma, like I think your vital signs would be important, like blood pressure, your heart rate, your oxygen level, like your O2 level.
Let me ask you a question.
Like,
this stuff have you ever been in a hospital where you're not hooked up to anything?
No, especially in a coma.
At the very least, an IV. Right. The very least.
Something. Fluids for your body. If you're in a coma, if she's in a coma a week, nutrition? She hasn't eaten in days, she hasn't drank anything in days, like you need to stay hydrated and nourished. You have to give your body nourishments, which would be through an IV. Nothing.
I've had more work done on me when I went to get a flu shot.
Right.
I feel like this is just how they – I mean, you hate to use the – I mean, I know the other show uses this in the 80s. Hey, it's the 70s. But I feel like it's not even a 70s thing that happened. It's a 70s movie thing where it's like, well, it's good enough. They're laying in a hospital bed. Not even a hospital bed. Just a bed in a hospital because it's not a hospital bed probably. It's probably just a regular bed. You had a crucifix over it. Like, where are they at? St. Maria's for lost souls or something? Come on now. Like, if I saw a big crucifix when I walked into a hospital, I'd be like, get that the hell out of here.
Well, I struggled a little bit when we were covering hospital minutes earlier. This isn't the Pennsylvania hospital, right? This has to be some, obviously, a Catholic hospital, like a St. something's.
How do you know it's Catholic? This is, like, the biggest crucifix ever. This is, like, the one. This is the one that Jesus was nailed to, like, whatever, Pontius Pilate, whatever his name is, like, delivered this to the hospital.
I'm pretty sure I saw a guy walking down the hallway with that. I helped him.
Well, you're the Good Samaritan.
Pontius, what's his name? Something Pilate,
Pontius,
right?
Pilate.
Pontius? Yeah. Pontius? Poncho?
Pontius. Poncho? He wasn't Mexican.
ASA, I'm here to nail you to the cross.
Oh, I walk you right into that one.
Am I going to have to cut out Jay's Mexican?
I've insulted Mexicans and Catholics in one swoop.
Well, listen, at least I didn't say what I was going to say about Catholics. I kept that on the cutting room floor.
Say it. I'll cut it out. I promise.
Oh, yeah. Well, I said this place couldn't be any more Catholic if there wasn't a stream of little boys heading through there.
Ooh.
All right. I'll snip that one.
Oh, I don't care. I'm Catholic, so I'm allowed to get away with it, right?
That's true.
Isn't that the rule?
Yeah. You can make fun of your own people, but not others. 2018, everybody.
It's 2019, but nice try. Oh.
God damn, it is. I'm living in the past.
But also, like, Rocky's reaction, look, he obviously looks relieved, like, you know, like she's woken up. Like, he looks happy, but I see more relief on his face. Like, he says, thank God, like, whatever. Yeah. But I don't know, like, what would your reaction be if your wife was in a coma for a week and she finally woke up? Would you be so calm, or would you, like, or would you be like, oh my God, like you're awake, like awesome, like you've missed so much. Like, I would
ask her what's for dinner.
Why are you still in bed, lazy? We're just gonna lay around all day.
But that floor's not gonna mop itself.
But it's just I wonder. What a natural reaction of somebody waking up of you when somebody you love is in a coma. You've been there for however period of time, and they wake up. Like, I never know what that reaction is like. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, if they wake up, then they're okay. But like, it would be interesting to know how you would react in that moment.
I think any reaction could be natural because it's such an unnatural situation. Mm. It's one of those, like, if you gave CPR to somebody, to like a loved one, not just random person. And you saved them and they came back. Like, what's your reaction supposed to be? Like, I think anything. He could have done anything here. He could have cried. He could have got real happy. He could have ran and got the doctor. Anything would have been natural. Because I don't think he knows what to do. Hmm. Also, in his current status right here with his beard and his long hair, he looks like he looks more like Rambo than Rocky.
Hmm. He's definitely exuding some Rambo.
Yeah.
In the book, though, he was scared. In this part, when he felt her hand move again, well, it was on his face, but he was scared it wasn't real. He said, if this isn't real, I don't think I could stand it.
Is that how he said it?
I'm not doing it. I think I might have to retire my Rocky impression. It is bad. It is bad. Like, I know it's bad when I do it, but when I hear it after listening to you, it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought she was going to be okay, you know. Like, I was hoping you would get up. And then you just kept laying there. I mean, like, who's going to make my dinner tonight? Get up. Get out of the bed, you know?
That's much better than mine. Jesus.
What are you talking about? I'm on with Kunda all the time. How do you think I feel?
Well, does he do – he does a lot of Rocky on
– No, he doesn't. I try to bait him into it all the time, but, like, I don't know. I feel like if he does it, I got to, like, pony up some money.
Pay him royalties. I'm surprised you're still able to get him.
Well, I mean, occasionally. I can't even get the rest of us, let alone get him.
I know, man. We had Jeff Hewlett lined up, and he just didn't respond to my emails.
I think he's in an undisclosed location somewhere. He's off just doing, like, 7 or 8 Star Trek podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. And he said yes. What's the Star Trek convention they have every year?
The Las Vegas one?
Yeah. Yeah, he goes out there with Craig, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he flies 2,500 miles and Craig drives 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, I said goes out there. Craig's already out there. We got the next day.
Mm.
Thank God.
Sun is shining. Everybody's awake.
Champagne's popping.
Paulie's dressed to the nines.
Yeah.
You know, the $6 bottle of champagne.
Yes. Only the best. It's Corbel's. Corbel?
Is it Corbel?
I don't know. I'm just the only champagne I know.
Brut?
Moët?
I think Moët is a little classier.
Oh, that's the fancy stuff.
Moët?
Moët. What are you, French? I was gonna say, I'm 100% sure it's not Moët. Give me one of them croissants, will you?
I hate saying things with accents.
I don't hate when people say something with accents. I hate when people lean on it too much or when people around here use accents that aren't real. I find this is here. I'm going to smash some of my neighbors here. This is a particularly Italian phenomenon. Well, they will put emphasis on words that aren't real.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the gabagool. Give me the mozzarella. That's not the real accent. Like, I've been to Italy. That's not how they say it.
Yeah.
But they'll say everything in like perfect, you know, American, and then they'll drop.
Yeah. Like, right.
You know. Well, they do that. You ever
seen, can you pass over the mozzarella?
Yeah, like, okay. Yo, don't lean on it so much. You get it the other way, too. Like, you'll see, like, a sportscast. They'll be like, yes, and then the team was traveling down to Mexico. Yeah. Stop it. Stop it right now. Just say it in our terrible American accents. Just own what you are.
Right. Would you like to just
butcher other people's culture? That's what we do.
Pretty much. We're a melting pot, you know?
Yeah.
Come over tomorrow night for some
Manigot. Manigot. It's manicotti.
Yeah. Give me the manicotti, the mozzarella.
Yeah.
Or I invite all my Italian friends over and we have a big thing of spaghetti and then I just cut it in front of them. Just watch them die inside.
Dude, one of my friends does that with nachos. he gets the fucking, you go out and he'd be like, oh, let's get nachos. And you get a big plate of nachos, and he just gets a knife and just like crunch, crunch, cuts them up. I stop getting nachos.
They're
and
already bite-sized.
Oh, my God. And then you got fucking crumbs of tortilla. You can't cut tortilla chips. He listens. He's been listening. I hope he listens to this one. You know who you are, you fucking nacho-cutting freak. Right down the middle, like crunch, 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 crunch. And I'm like, what are you cutting them for? They're bite-sized tortilla chips.
He's making portions.
Four portions. <Yeah. laughs>
What you brought me today.
Your psychosis is worth 3 portions.
It's a little Unkar plut. Jay's looking at me like,
I don't know what you're talking
about. We're crazy.
Oh, well, you don't know who Unkar plut is? What's your problem?
Who is it?
It's from Star Wars. The Force Awakens. Oh. 1/4 portion. No?
I remember that, but I don't know the guy's name because I'm a normal human. Jesus.
Well, you've met your nerd match today, yeah, buddy. Ugh.
Listen to Star Wars Minute. It's right. All about so, Unkar plut.
You go. Before we so go to the beginning of the, go to just the, if you just go on the minute.
Yeah.
So the first scene of the minute, and you put it up there. This thing I'm looking at here.
Oh, okay.
Look at Rocky's hand. It looks like a woman's hand.
Yeah,
it looks like fingernails that like have been manicured and mm-hmm. like it's a very feminine look. That there's no way that's a man's hand.
It's also no way it's a boxer's hand.
That was what I was gonna say. He's not. That's not a fighter's hand.
No, it's not a man's hand. And this is coming from a guy who has very unmanly hands. I have these small, dainty hands, and I'm looking at these hands like, look at this hand.
Yeah, he's got like that clear coat on.
Yeah, it looks like the clear coat and nail polish.
I bet you 1975 Sylvester Stallone's hands didn't look like that.
You think he's starting to hit his stride of vanity?
Yes, and he's hitting it now, but he'll really hit it by your next movie.
Oh, my God.
So Adrienne asks about the baby, and she says, like, oh, you haven't seen the
baby? He's like, I don't know. I haven't seen it.
No, she says, like, what? I don't like.
So you haven't seen a baby yet or something?
Right, yeah, something right. Like that. I already went into my haven't seen the baby tirade, so I'm done.
That's all right, because I'm gonna double down on it.
Yeah, go for it.
Let's pretend like, just now imagine this situation is you, and your wife wakes up and says, how's the baby? And you say, I haven't seen the baby. Well, how long's it been? 7 days. What's her reaction to that?
Flip out.
Oh, right. My God. You haven't seen her baby for 7 days? Are you insane?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's pretty much.
I don't know. Like I said, I already expressed my opinion on this, but I don't know how there's so – I can't even believe that he didn't go see the baby. Like, that's – like, your wife is in a coma. You don't know if she's going to live or not. This is, like, the product of you and her together. Like, this is – you know, you go see the baby. Mm-hmm. And like,
I understand splitting the time between it. Like, you're there and you're here. But, like, if nothing else, I'm going to say it legally, that's your responsibility.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, if Adrienne dies, what was he? Just leave the hospital, leave the baby, just
Well, he has to see him together. So if there's no together, then there's no baby?
I don't get it, man. It just, I don't understand why he didn't go see the baby. Like, that's not even, some people will be like, oh, that's a Rocky thing, like an endearing, like, oh, you know, they want to see it together. That's a bad parenting thing. Like,
no, that's a problem. Like, he needs to see counseling. Obviously, he's got something deep down in his brain where, like, I can't see the kid without Adrienne. What if she never wakes up?
Yeah, then what?
I mean, nobody ever wants to think of that, but Jesus Christ, that could happen. Like, if you're a parent, there's only two of you, and there's one kid. If something happens to one of you, the other one's on the hook. You don't get to tap out because you lost the other parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of a lifelong commitment, pretty much. Yeah, there's no circumstance. I mean, back then it was like you only saw the baby. I mean, I don't know how true this is, but you saw the baby through the glass when they're in the nursery in that little mm-hmm. bassinet thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, they give you the baby to hold immediately before they take it away to do the tests and everything on it.
I feel like we're like 10 years away from the dads having to deliver the babies. Like, Jesus Christ, how close do I need to be? I'm good right here, thanks.
Yeah.
My wife's asking me, how's everything look? Yeah, it's fine. Do I want to see it? No, you don't want to see it.
You watched, huh?
I watched.
Did you?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, I watched the C-section.
Oh, boy. About that. Listen, no, I watched the whole thing.
Listen, it's not good.
You've seen more of your wife than she's even seen of herself.
Yeah, you're like, just stay where you are. Just have the memories of how things used to be.
And watching by me watching the whole thing, I saw the baby before she did.
Mm. Yeah, haha, beat you.
Right. We didn't see it together.
I stayed securely up by my wife's head and held her hand the whole time and coached her on.
I remember standing, being up on my wife and then bringing a stool over. I'm like, what's that for? They're like, well, that's in case you're going to pass out. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Get that away from
really?
Me.
Really?
Yeah. They were like, a lot of dads pass out. I'm like, well, then you got a lot of pansies in here. I don't want to tell you. Like, listen, I can't imagine having to talk to my wife after I passed out. She's giving birth.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, she's conscious, so I better be too.
Well, some people, I mean, people pass out getting tattooed or
Listen, I've watched people pass out getting flu shots. Yeah. I had to hold the guy down so he could get a flu shot one time.
Jesus.
A grown man. Like, come on, man. My 10-year-old can get a flu shot.
So people just can't take it.
Ooh, I don't like needles. Get over it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a quick in and out thing, especially
shots. There's no excuse not to get a shot. Like, okay, maybe getting blood drawn because that hurts. Like, I can see not liking that. But they're like, I don't like to see the blood. Then look the other direction.
Yeah.
I don't tell you.
Nobody says you have to watch it.
Yeah.
You get callous to seeing hideous shit after a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
everybody's got their thing because, like, I knew people like my mom worked in the emergency room in Camden. So mm-hmm. needless to say, she saw some bad stuff. But for whatever reason, she couldn't handle bones. Like, if somebody had to get, like, their shoulder relocated or something, she'd be like, I'm out. Meanwhile, people would just come in, shot up every night, be like, oh, look at this guy. Oh, I better plug some of these guys' holes. He's all screwed up.
Yeah, so one aversion is like, it seems minor compared to the other one.
Yeah, I saw a guy get brought into the emergency room in Camden one time with a butcher knife in his chest. Down to the hilt.
Really?
Apparently he had a little disagreement with the old wife.
Oh, yeah?
Didn't go his way. Fun fact, he lived. Jesus. The knife was against his heart. You could see it moving. Oh, yeah. Good times.
Did you, you worked in the ER?
No, I was just picking my mom up from work.
Jesus.
Her car broke down, so I had to go pick her up. I just see this guy get wheeled in, and they stopped him there for like just like 5 seconds while they like you open the doors or whatever, and I could see it just moving a little bit. I'm like, all right, well, I know what I'll be dreaming about tonight.
How old were you? I guess you were driving age.
17.
Jesus. Yeah, that's not something you see every day.
Yeah.
The regular show.
In that in Camden, you might.
Yeah, well, they see that every day.
Yeah.
That's got to be a busy hospital.
Maybe that's why in her hospital room there's no stuff in there. They're like, she's just asleep. I'm like, for God's sake, she's fine. She's not in a coma. She's just lazy. she's trying to lay there long enough for Rocky to leave. She's like, maybe if I lay here long enough, he'll actually go see our kid.
I like also with Paulie in the hospital room. He's got the champagne and he's got a pocket full of cigars. You know the old days when they used to hand out cigars.
Yeah. I mean, no, I don't. But yeah, I remember. I
I've seen TV shows from.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I can only assume that everybody did that from every TV show and movie I watched for 40 years.
Yeah, right. The mom's in the delivery room. The dad's handing out cigars in the waiting room to all the other expectant fathers.
Or if you go back even further, the dad's at the bar waiting for the phone call to let him know that his kid's born. That's like the '50s.
Yeah, long time.
I see that Mickey doesn't take a drink. You think Mickey's got an alcohol problem?
I think he did take a drink, though. He just didn't want any more, right?
Oh, I thought his thing was
empty.
He
has a cup in his hand.
Yeah, but I think it's empty.
Yeah, but maybe he drank it and then he didn't want any more?
I like my canon better, right, where he's an alcoholic.
Okay. Like recovering?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay. Where he's like, I can't drink dipshit. I'll die.
Fall off the wagon. Let's see. Does he drink?
No, he pulls when Paulie goes to pour him. He pulls the cup away. But that could be a second serving because Paulie's giving out seconds.
And yes, yeah.
I assume that all the firsts were drank by Paulie, though.
Yeah, right. He's just hitting it right from the bottle. I like the little blue boxing gloves around Paulie's neck.
Mm-hmm.
Paulie's happy.
Yeah, because he doesn't have to live with the blame for the rest of his life if she dies.
Yeah, he's like, oh, thank God, it's not my fault.
I go back to treating her like shit, guilt-free.
Well, it's like if you mess up and do something and then, like, you get away with it or the whatever it is recovers or it's not a big deal, you're like, oh, thank God. Like,
right.
Yeah.
You feel the blood flowing through your hands and feet again.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm safe.
Right, yeah. Which brings us to the end of the week.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Real barn burner of minutes you gave me here.
I mean,
last movie I had the fight, right? Was this my punishment for getting the fight last time?
Unfortunately, your computer punished you far more than we could ever.
That's all right. My computer has been put in its place since then.
Oh, good.
Garbage.
Well, no. I kept it around so in case I need something to yell at or throw something at.
Is it still in one piece?
Yeah, it just sits there. I don't actually hit it because I still live in a world where I think I'm going to be able to fix it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have no ability to do that, so I don't know why I would think that. But I bet if you look around my house, you could probably find my last three computers still laying around somewhere.
Yeah, I know. I actually keep my last computer like available on the table over there just in case I need it. And I haven't used it in 10 years.
Just in case you want to revisit your old 10-year-old pornography.
Well, just, actually, there is some of that on there. Like, all my files, like, I've taken off of there and put on, like, an external hard drive. So there's really no earthly reason I need that computer anymore.
Yeah, well, there's no reason I need that Atari in my garage either, but I still got it.
Yeah. We struggle with letting things go, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The only thing I need to do is I just need to keep less stuff than my wife has. That way I can still say that I still have less than you. I may have 12 containers in the garage, but you have 14, so I'm still good.
I have a goddamn two-car garage that I can barely move around in because
I have a two-car garage that can fit zero cars because it's just filled with garbage.
I know, man. It's aggravating.
I'm usually pretty good at getting rid of stuff.
You are?
Yeah.
3 or 4 years ago, I was out there, and I was trying to reach something, and I'm leaning on all this crap, and I didn't know underneath of it was a glass table, and I went right through it.
Oh, my gosh.
get up, my hands all cut to pieces. I'm like, oh, great.
Where was that, in the garage?
Yeah, there was like glass table, but it had all this crap on top of it.
Yeah.
So I'm leaning on it, thinking it's something that's going to support my weight. Oh, it did support, like, you know, the first 100 pounds or so. Guess what? It didn't support the second 100 pounds, right through it. I was going out that night. It cut me, like, so deep. Blood just pouring out of my hand. I'm like, oh, I don't need this.
Jesus.
So did I go out? Of course I did. I just put on, you know, I put some Band-Aids and duct tape on it.
Yeah, you wrap it up.
Stop bleeding eventually, right?
But my question is all the glass cleaned up?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, I'm sure I still step on it occasionally.
I was going to say, like, when you break glass, you never get every little piece of glass.
You'll go out there 8 years from now and step on something and be like, where is there glass out here? I haven't broke anything out here in a decade. It's no different than where you'll find stuff from your Christmas tree in August.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where are these needles coming from?
Yeah. Yeah, they're friggin' everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
There's some on the table here. Or is that from your flowers?
That's from Lindsay's flowers.
Aw.
Listen, I work 4 nights a week, and I podcast one of my nights off, so.
Flowers?
If I got to get flowers every now and then to keep her happy.
Would you get those for any special occasion? Or just...
No. I was at Costco.
See, like, you got to be careful of that. I feel like if I just show up with flowers unannounced, questions start getting asked.
What'd you do?
What am I going to find?
Yep.
Am I going to go out and there's a dent in my car? Is somebody going to show up with a kid and have a...
Oh, man. I don't think flowers is quite enough.
I don't think flowers are getting the job done there.
Any last words about Rocky? Rocky 2? Slycast?
Yeah.
Stallone?
It is what it is. I'm trying to think. I did make a ranking of all the Rocky movies at some point. I think Rocky 2 fell right in the middle. Mm-hmm. I had it below 1, below Balboa, but above 3 and 4. I think it's a better movie than both of those. Although, if you were like, hey, I'm just going to watch any Rocky movie, it's hard-pressed not to just watch 4 because it's like 90 minutes you're in and out. Mm-hmm. It's just like – it's mostly like – it's like a movie – it's like a music video most of the way through.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wall-to-wall like action. You know, right. There's no real down areas.
When we do Rocky 4, there's real no dull minutes to get. You get anything in that and you're –
That used to be on Slycast. One of our major fights is Rocky 3 and Rocky 4.
Because Mike.
Well, this is even before he was on there. It was Craig and Jeff Hewlett love Rocky 3, and I love Rocky 4.
Hmm.
And we would battle it out all the time. And I told them, it's got to be our ages. I'm just like 5 years younger than both of them. So Rocky 4 just hit the sweet spot, the perfect age to see Rocky 4. Where Rocky 3, I saw it, and I'm like, whatever. It's like Rocky 4, except not as good.
We both agree with you that Rocky 4 is by far better than Rocky 3, right, Jay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rocky IV's got us. I mean, this is my theory on the Rocky universe is this. Rocky 1 and Rocky 2 exist in the real world. Like, there's real stakes. Rocky 2 is a little, and the stakes change a little bit, but it's normal. Rocky 3 and Rocky 4 exist on another plane of existence where it's like cartoon world, where like every punch is like a freight train and like there's crazy comic book villains all over the place, like Mr. T and Hulk Hogan and, you know, Dolph Lundgren. And then Rocky 5, they tried to go back to the real world, but they messed it up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bad movie. And then Rocky Balboa, it's back to the real world, and it's been the real world since then. But those other two movies just exist on like another – like those are like from the Marvel Cinematic Universe or something. Like they're in a different place. As long as you accept them for that, then you can watch those movies. The people that don't like 3 and 4 don't like them because they're not 1 and 2. They're not
– purists.
Yeah, like, oh, I need my movie to be real and down to earth. Well, you know, there can be other types of movies, right? You can like Halloween and Halloween 3, like even though they're totally different. That is possible.
Yeah. I think Rocky 3 was my first Rocky movie that I've seen.
It's so difficult to know, though, because every movie starts with the end of the other movie.
Yeah.
So you're like, which one did I see? I think I saw Rocky 2 first, but it has the Rocky 1 fight at the beginning of it.
Right. So technically, did you see Rocky 1 first?
In my mind, Rocky 2 immediately goes into the Breakfast Club because that's how we had it on VHS. We had taped wherever my parents had stolen it from. That's the order it went in. So at the end of Rocky 2 where they hug and you see like, you know, he hugs Mick and then it goes to like the still frame. It used to cut immediately to Shermer High School, Shermer, Illinois. Because, you know, your cuts were never right. They were always like, you know, it was 2 minutes after a movie started.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You never got the beginning quite.
And they – I don't know if they did it back then, but did they shrink the ending credits so they can show the beginning of the next movie?
No, because this was – my parents were 100% stealing these from the video store. Mm-hmm.
Oh, the video store. They were doing
the old VHS, you know, put the tape over it so you could tape over it type thing.
You play one, but, record the other.
One of the first things my parents bought after their first VCR was their second one.
Yeah, yeah.
To immediately start robbing the local video store.
Yeah, my dad used to do that too. Are we, is the statute of limitations up on that? Can we talk about our parents?
You mean for a completely dead industry? Yeah, I would say so.
Who's coming after you?
Not me. It was my dad. I swear it was my dad, not me.
Who's coming after you? Big VHS?
Mr. Palmer?
Palmer. That was our local one, Palmer Video.
Yeah. Ours was Frank, so we had Frank. Pretty sure he's not coming after me no more. That's
great.
What was the one in Avenel? That was like the one of the that was the first one we ever went to. Palmer and Premier were in Carteret, but there was one in Avenel.
I don't know
that we always went to.
We supported local businesses, Jay.
And all the stuff was behind glass, so you had to like get the attendant who had to come and open up the cabinet and get you out the movie you wanted. This was like the first one. This was a long time ago.
Yeah, my very first one was called Video Monster. I can remember what that place exactly looked like when I went into it. Because when the first one opens up, you're like, this place is amazing.
It was on that road that goes to St. George's Avenue. I'm
look. Is it like Randall walking into the big video store?
That's pretty much what it was. And they had all like, you would rent movies based just solely on what the cover art looked like.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, that looks awesome. And then you only realize later like, oh, that's a painting. And that's nothing that even happens in the movie on that cover.
I loved old VHS covers.
The problem with Premiere Video and Palmer Video was you had to like, you went to the shelves, you picked up a box, you went to the thing, and then you found out if they had it in or not. They had to look for it in the row of videos. Mm-hmm. So you would like find a movie you wanted to watch, you'd get the box, you'd go to the counter, give it to the guy, he would look, he'd be like, oh, we don't have that one. Like where Blockbuster changed that because it was right, yeah, what they had was right there. And the one I'm talking about with the glass was everything was behind glass, so they had to come open it up so you saw if it was available there. And also, the one that I'm talking about in Avenel with the behind the glass was so old that they had the VHS and the Betamax next to it. Oh, so you had to get the right one.
You could rent Betamax?
Back in, yeah, when they first opened. I got to look up.
Do you remember at Premier and Palmer, they had like those brown
cases.
Hard plastic
that's
cases.
That's how Video Monster was, just the brown hard cases.
But Premier and Palmer, you used to bring it up to them. They had a number on them. Then they would go find the number in their little library behind the counter. Mm-hmm. And there was so many times they didn't have it. You're like, what the?
They had like a
At ours, they finally figured out they would put like a little plastic sleeve on the front.
Yeah,
and they would put like a little index card in there, and if the index card was in there, then they had it.
Oh, okay.
So when somebody checked it out, they put the card in the spot.
It was like renting a library book.
Yes.
Yes.
We are. Exactly. We thought video stores were old. Now we're gonna talk about libraries.
I think we've devolved into madness here.
Let's talk about the Dewey Decimal System.
Kids don't know about that these days. God, we sound old. All right. Well, why don't you take us out this week, Jeff, and tell us what else you're working on?
Well, why don't you go over to find us on Facebook at the Jay and Silent Bob Quicker Stop. Go in there and tell me how crappy you think we are and everything I messed up this week and how all my views on society and pop culture are wrong, because apparently that's what that is for.
There's no shortage of people telling you where you're wrong.
That's okay, because I like when people tell me wrong, because then I can get online and attack them, which is one of my favorite things to do. We're on Dueling Genre, Jay and Silent Bob Minute. We're on our second movie for them. We're blissfully almost through Mallrats, which I made a real mistake and did the uncut version of.
Yep.
I will not make that mistake again. I will be doing theatrical versions from now on. We also did Clerks, and you can also check us out on the Burbs Minute with my co-host, Chris Derkoch, who cries if I don't mention him. So...
Oh, I'm sure he'll appreciate this shout out. The week that you were supposed to be on with us and he was on, we mentioned you a whole lot.
Oh, yeah. Mostly going, I wish he was here because he would have known this. Yeah, and I would have known it. You dumbasses don't know what difference between omnipotent and omniscient.
Still not.
A narrator is not omnipotent. Q from Star Trek is omnipotent. He's a god. Mm-hmm. An omniscient narrator is a narrator who knows all the information. It's like most books are written that way, where the person writing knows everything. They know how every single character's feeling. If it's written in first person, like the parts written by Rocky, he only knows what he knows. The Rocky book is written in both. It's written in first person and omniscient. When it's not Rocky, it's the other way. That's why the parts with Apollo, they know what's going on because the narrator knows everything.
And it's not written in Rocky's language.
No. Only the parts with Rocky are written that way. It's an odd way to write a book, I grant you. You normally don't switch your voice that way. It's called writing in a voice. You don't switch your voice like that. Most books don't do it. If it's written in first person, it's written in first person normally the whole way through. But they probably were like, well, we want to write some stuff like Rocky, but it's going to be a really short book if we don't have what's going on in the rest of the movie.
That's right. See that, Jay?
You've been questioning. Otherwise, you're going to have chapters like, oh, I wonder what Apollo's up to right now.
Jay's been killing me for 85 minutes over this, so thank you for freshening that up.
He cleared it up. I get it now. It's still stupid, but...
It is stupid. Listen, if you're going to write a book that way, you better be a damn good author to be able to get away with it. Now, I've not read the book, so I can't tell you whether it's good or not, but...
It's not.
I'm just telling you, most things... When they're written in that direction, usually when it goes from movie to book, it's usually not that great.
No, it's really not. I actually hate it.
Okay.
I think it's
you hate the book, or you hate Doug reading it.
I hate the book.
A little both. A bit of both. Jay, you know, I'm not necessarily enjoying but I'm doing a service to the fans.
No, it gives us some insight to what Rocky thought Rocky was thinking after the movie was already out and stupidly. I don't like it.
Also, Jeff, can you say it was written before the movie was released?
Well, they do that a lot where they'll work off like the first script.
Yeah.
But then the problem is if you write a book straight off a script, you know, say the script's like 100 pages. Well, 100 pages of script is not going to translate into like a 300-page book. You have to pad that shit out.
Right. And they flesh it out a lot.
Yeah, so you got to like flesh out characters who may not have as much to do. So like in this scene where like Paulie walks in the hallway for 5 seconds – like, if I was writing it, I could turn that into 2 pages.
Mm-hmm.
Paulie's inner monologue, he's doing this and that. He's looking at the statues of Christ going, I like that statue better than this one. I wish the statue of Buddy Christ was in here. But...
Buddy Christ. when are you doing Dogma?
We still got Chasing Amy, then Dogma.
Okay. All right. Well, these fellows, we're on Dueling Genre also. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, we're Rocky Minute. Our listeners group is Mighty Mix. Movies by Minutes, that's a thing that houses all of the shows that are covered this way and some other ways, but they're all covered under the Movies by Minutes umbrella. Let's see, you want to support Dueling Genre? There's a Patreon. You could go to duelinggenre.com and click support. We have a TeePublic site. Jay and Silent Bob have a TeePublic site. Dueling Genre has a TeePublic site. So go support all our stuff. Buy our shirts. We get like $1.50 out of each sale. Got to keep the lights on somehow. And have a great weekend, and we'll see you on a new Rocky Minute.
What are we waiting for? Take this!
Hello. Hello.